إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، it's a pleasure, always a pleasure to welcome all of you in our classes here at Masjid al-Tawheed. As Wednesday night, we read from Mukhtasar Sirat al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the abridged biography of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, li Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullahu ta'ala. For those who have the English translation, we're going to be reading from the page 145, the Arabic text, page number 70. In a previous class, we mentioned the last couple of points is that the Quraysh request, or they making questions regarding the soul. They want to know about the soul and also about the companions of the cave. And also Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira saying regarding the Quran being magic. So this is the pagan of Quraysh. They continue to argue. The people who reject the truth, they always argue. What about this? We'll bring this. If they bring that, bring the other one. If you bring this, bring another one. Constantly. Because they are not asking to learn. They're asking for another way. They may ask a question hoping that the Prophet ﷺ would not be able to answer those questions. That was their. But as for someone who's looking for the truth, when the truth is presented, alhamdulillah, they accept it. And may Allah make us from those people, Ameen. That when we ask question, we ask because we want to know. We're not asking because we want to argue. And there's a big difference. We ask because we want to know, and as soon as the haqq is mentioned clear to us, we accept it. And may Allah make us from those who accept the haqq, Ameen. Because subhanAllah, rejecting the haqq, it's not something that is easy. Now, one of the signs is the splitting of the moon. Inshiqaqul qamar. Inshiqaqul qamar. The splitting of the moon. فَمِمَّا سَأَلُوهُ أَنْ يُرِيهِمْ آيَةٍ فَأَرَاهُمُ انْشِقَاقَ الْقَمَرِ. From the things that they asked the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they ask him to show them a sign. They say, show us a sign that proves that you are truly a prophet. Okay? Keep in mind now they're talking to a person that they know. They know this is not someone that came from another planet or came from another country. They know him. Not only they know who he is, they know his family, they know his forefather, they know his lineage. This is a man, it's not like when he was 5 years old, he moved to China and came back after 40 years, he's like, listen, I'm a prophet. And this is a man who grew around them, amongst them. And every single one of them, they know his character. Actually, they called him Al-Amin. They're the one that give him that name, the trustworthy. And subhanAllah, alhamdulillah for hidayah, ya. When you read this, the story of these people, the Prophet was amongst them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And still couldn't he believe. And we, how long between us and between the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And still, anybody amongst us seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? No. But we still believed in him. Allahu Akbar. This is ni'mah. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab al-Aqil, not Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, this the Sheikh we're talking. Now this is One of the Mashaykh is still alive, Hafidahullah. May Allah increase him in Nar Jameen and preserve him and preserve the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah. Ameen. Shaykh, our Shaykh, Dr. Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab Al Aqil, he's one of the teachers in the Islamic University of Al Medina. He gave us many talks, Jazakallah Khair. Excuse me with these allergies, you know. Alhamdulillah. So, the Shaykh, once he was talking about this, subhanAllah, the ni'mah of Hidayah, the ni'mah of being guided to Islam, the ni'mah of being guided to Islam. And he said, subhanAllah, to be guided to Islam, it's a great ni'mah. He says, keep in mind, there are people who lived at that time when the Quran was revealed, when the Prophet ﷺ was amongst them. He talked to them. He's the best of mankind in everything you want, in his manners, in his patience, generosity, mercy, anything. But still, people didn't believe in him. He says, now, Allahu Akbar, after all these years, the Prophet is now your family, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You didn't live in there. You weren't there at that time. Hundreds of years between you and between the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't speak to you. You didn't see his manners. You didn't see his gentleness and his patience and forbearance. Yet you believed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened your heart to accept his message. Allahu Akbar. The Shaykh even said, he says, subhanallah, these are the Arabs. They are the masters of the Arabic language. The Quran was revealed in their language. They don't need no translation. They don't need no Tafsir ibn Kathir or Tabari. No, this ulama has to break it down for when the level of Arabic was going down. These are people, they understand, they understood clearly what is meant behind this ayah, this hadith. Still, they didn't accept it. And then the Shaykh, he says, people come way, hundreds of years. He said, some people, they are Muslims, they accept Islam, they can even say one word in Arabic. They can even say one word along and understand it. Don't you see certain people, alhamdulillah, Allah guide them, they take shahada, they barely say ashhadu. But still Allah confer upon them this great ni'mah. So to be a Muslim, Allah, it's a great ni'mah, man. But this ni'mah, we have to take advantage of it and benefit from it. And we have to concern ourselves with this matter. That's what makes us true Muslims, if we understand Islam and study Islam. So they asked the Prophet ﷺ to show them a sign. And so he showed them the splitting of the moon. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed them a sign. It's Allah. It's not the Prophet ﷺ that did this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These signs are from Allah. So Allah showed these people a sign, the splitting of the moon. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the ayats in Surah Allah. Not only show them that, but revealed. Allah revealed ayat, ya ikhwan. Surah Al-Qamar. There is a surah that is called Surah Al-Qamar. Okay, Surah Al-Qamar. From the verses. From the beginning of the ayah. From ayat 1 to 3, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِقْتَرَبَتِ السَّاعَةُ وَانْشَقَّ الْقَمَرُ وَإِنْ يَرَوْا آيَةً يُعْرِضُوا وَيَقُولُوا سِحْرٌ مُسْتَمِرٌ وَكَذَّبُوا وَاتَّبَعُوا أَهْوَاءَهُمْ وَكُلُّ أَمْرٍ مُسْتَقِيمٌ. Now they ask for a sign, Allah give them the sign. You think like, okay, mashallah, because that's what they say. Tell us a sign, show us a sign that proves that you are a prophet. And if you show us that sign, that says, we know you are a prophet, meaning they will believe in him and follow him. Allah says that the hour has drawn near and the moon has been cleft asunder. Because the people of Mecca requested the Prophet Muhammad to show them a miracle. So he showed them the splitting of the moon. He showed them the splitting of the moon. And there is a narration in Sahih al-Bukhari. Alright? On narrate Anas radiallahu anhu, the people of Mecca asked the Prophet to show them a sign, a miracle. So Allah showed them the cleaving of the moon. Alright? He showed them the cleaving of the moon. And they see a sign. And Allah says, and if they see a sign, they turn away and say, this is continuous magic. They deny the verses of Allah, the Quran, and follow their own lusts. And every matter will be settled according to the kind of deeds. Good deeds will take their doors to paradise, and similarly, evil deeds will take their doors to hell. Wal'iyadu billah. The Shaykh says, after they asked the Prophet ﷺ to show them a sign, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed them the moon, the splitting of the moon, what they say? Then they said, he has bewitched you. He has bewitched, meaning the Prophet ﷺ has put some magic on your eyes and you looked at the moon like that. Then they say to one another, look at the travelers. And if they saw what you saw, then he has spoken the truth. They said, wait a minute, maybe he did something to you guys. This man did something to you. Huh? Now, wait a minute. Those people are traveling in the desert and coming to Mecca. When they come, if somebody comes tomorrow morning, we'll tell them, did you see the moon? Yes, we saw it. What did you see? If somebody come 3 days later, hey, 3 nights ago, did you see the moon? Or something like that. So they said, let's ask the travelers when they come to Mecca, did they see the same thing we saw? If they say that they saw the splitting of the moon, he's speaking the truth. And they came from every direction, travelers, from every direction, all of them said, we saw it. And they said, we saw it. The Shaykh says, it is possible that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw these signs which they demanded, Quraysh demanded, due to a desire on his part that they should believe, and his prayers were answered due to the fact that they do not necessitate guidance. Rather, they necessitate the punishment of destruction for those who belie them. So the Prophet ﷺ, he was hoping that, okay, that's what you ask for a sign. Inshallah, Allah will bring a sign. And then that's it. They say, oh, mashallah, you brought the same sign? Okay, you are a prophet. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. You are the messenger of Allah. They didn't have it like that. Iyadu billah. And they continue to request for signs. And Allah, Most Glorified, has shown many signs, at the same time sealing the hearts of the disbelievers. May Allah protect us, Ya Ikhwan. Allah seals the hearts of the disbelievers, such as the Pharaoh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَأَقْسَمُوا بِاللَّهِ وَأَقْسَمُوا بِاللَّهِ جَهْدَ أَيْمَانِهِمْ لَإِنْ جَاءَتْهُمْ آيَةٌ لَيُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهَا. This is Surah Al-An'am. Once again, we're going to read, because here they tell you from this ayah to this ayah. We're going to go here to read to you the ayat and the translation, inshallah. In Surah Al-An'am, the Surah number 6, from the verses 109 to 111. You with me?
Yes.
I am. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, aminu rizak, says, وَأَقْسَمُ بِاللَّهِ جَهْدَ أَيْمَانِهِمْ لَإِنْ جَاءَتْهُمْ آيَةٌ لَيُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهَا قُلْ إِنَّمَا الْآيَاتُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ وَمَا يُشْعِرُكُمْ أَنَّهَا إِذَا جَاءَتْ لَيُؤْمِنُونَ وَنُقَلِّبُ أَفْئِدَتَهُمْ وَأَبْصَارَهُمْ كَمَا لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهِ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ وَنَذَرُهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ وَلَوْ أَنَّنَا نَزَّلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ وَكَلَّمَهُمُ الْمَوْتَى وَحَشَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ قُبُلًا مَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ يَجْهَلُونَ And they swear their strongest oath by Allah that if there came to them a sign, they would surely believe therein. SubhanAllah. Say, signs are but with Allah. And what would make you, Muslims, perceive that even if it, meaning the sign, came, they would not believe? And we shall turn their hearts and their eyes away from guidance as they refuse to believe therein for the first time. And we shall leave them in their trespass to wander blindly. And even if we had sent down to them angels and the dead had spoken to them and we had gathered together all things before their very eyes, they would not have believed. Unless Allah will. But most of them behave ignorantly. Thank Allah, man, for guidance, man. Thank Allah for guidance. Allah make things easy. You believe in Allah and you believe in the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and you pray and you fast and you're doing it with happiness. Alhamdulillah, I'm a Muslim, Allahu Akbar. These are people, akhi. They lived there, man. They witnessed the Quran. They ask for a sign comes in. Signs. But still, they died as kuffar, as mushrikun. SubhanAllah. Wallahi, in these things, man, we're reading a lot of lessons for us. And one of the first lessons, we'll be grateful. We learn to be grateful to Allah. You know? And we learn to be grateful and to thank Allah for His bounties upon us. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Isra, وَمَا مَنَعَنَا أَن نُرْسِلَ بِالْآيَاتِ إِلَّا أَن كَذَّبَ بِهَا الْأَوَّلُونَ Verse 59. And nothing stops us from sending the proofs and signs but that the people of old denied them. And there is a qa'idah that the ulama, they says, that if a people ask for a big sign, for a sign from Allah, and if they see it and refuse it, they will be destroyed. Be destroyed, man. Ya'adu billah. Allah Most High has explained that nothing prevents Him from sending them, except that the people of old denied them. And if they also denied them, they would be deserving of the punishment of destruction. Naam. They be deserving because the punishment of destruction, be destroyed, because the people before they asked signs from their messengers, and when he said to them, they denied them, they were destroyed because of that. The scholars of tafsir and the scholars of hadith have narrated on the authority of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. Why we say radiyallahu anhuma and we don't say radiyallahu anhu? Naam Abu Damir.
Because he's saying about the son and the father.
The son and the father. Which son and which father?
Ibn Abbas.
Ibn Abbas.
Abbas.
Huh?
Ibn Abbas and Abbas.
What's the son name?
Ibn Abbas.
Nah. What's his name?
Well, what's his name?
Ibn Abbas, what's his name? Abdullah Ibn Abbas. And who's Al-Abbas?
The uncle of the Messenger of Allah.
Aylah. One of the uncles of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Al-Abbas.
One of the uncles that go into Jannah.
Alhamdulillah, aylah. He accepted Islam, alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. So the scholars of Tafsir and the scholars of Hadith have narrated on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma that he said, meaning Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma saying this, the people of Mecca asked him, i.e. the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they asked him to turn the Safa into gold. Safa is a mountain, little mountain. They say, turn this. You're a prophet? Okay. Turn this into gold. To turn the Safa into gold and to remove the mountains from them. Because there's a lot of mountains. They said, we don't want these mountains. Okay, remove these mountains from us. So that they may farm. They want to do some farming. And it was said to him, if you wish, SubhanAllah, it was said to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if you wish, we will give them a respite. Or, if you wish, we will give them that they, what they ask, and if they disbelieve, they will be destroyed, as those before them were destroyed. This is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Prophet of Mercy. Even though now, if he don't do that, what are they going to say? He's a liar. He's nobody. See, he's not a prophet. Huh? He's not a prophet. Because if he was a prophet, he could have done it. Huh? Yeah? But see, the Prophet ﷺ, he take all that patiently because he don't want them to be destroyed. He don't want them to deny because Allah is able to do all things. You think the Prophet ﷺ, he's the one who's going to make the Safa in gold? He's Allah. Allah cannot only make it in gold, can make it in gold and jewelry and diamond. You know? But look at the things. Now, it was said to the Prophet ﷺ, we can let him give more time to think and, you know, and mashallah. Or we can make it. We can give him the request. They want the Safa in gold? Can happen. Be and it is. They want this mountain to be removed? They can be removed. Allahu Akbar. The angel came to him. Okay? But the Prophet ﷺ, but hey, if they deny those, now after this, after we make the Safa in gold, remove the mountains and they can't farm, and they still deny you, they be destroyed. So what's the Prophet ﷺ choose? We listen. He said, no, I will give them respite. I'll be patient with them. SubhanAllah. And then Allah revealed this ayat as just mentioned in 59 in Surah Al-Isra, وَمَا مَنَعَنَا أَن نُرْسِلَ بِالْآيَاتِ إِلَّا أَن كَذَّبَ بِهَا الْأَوَّلُونَ. And nothing stops us from sending the ayats, proofs, evidences, signs, but that the people of old deny them. Nothing is impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But since if they deny in it, they will be destroyed. Look at the Prophet ﷺ has mercy upon his people. These are his people, ya Akhwan. It works both ways. The Prophet ﷺ, these are his people that deny in him. He's not like somebody else from another planet. These are the same people. Many of them, they are family members, ya Akhi. Cousins and uncles and subhanAllah. It's amazing, man. And look at the mercy of the Prophet ﷺ. We learn from this, you have to be merciful with your people that they are not Muslims yet. May Allah guide them to Islam. But their guidance is with Allah alone. It's not because of you. If they are guided, don't think like, man, I got two in Jannah already. You got two in Jannah? Where are you at? Stone Mountain. So you ain't get nobody yet. You get them in Jannah, but you're still here in Stone Mountain. In Clarkston. Getting sick. Fighting the pollen and can't go to sleep. Everything in you each, eyes, nose, throat, but you got only two of your family in the Jannah, right? Ah, subhanAllah. You ain't nobody, man. Allah get people into Jannah. So what we learn from this? We learn from this, you be patient. Why? Because we follow the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some of your family may tell you, okay, well, ask your Lord, Allah, to destroy me right now. Were you going to make that? Because you know Allah is able to destroy them. Allah. They're like, okay, ask your Lord. Huh? You think we're going to go in the hellfire and burn? Well, ask him to burn me in my house tomorrow. And you hear about me on, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You going to ask that? You may ask Allah and that grandmother of yours be burned that night. You never know. May Allah answer dua. No, you will say no, grandmother. It's okay. But this is going to make fun of you, see? Your Lord can't do anything. If you're so sure of this Islam, you could do it and I could be burned. But you want your grandmother to get burned? No, you don't want that. So that's why you take the blame. Not the blame, you take that criticism from anybody. They're going to say, nobody. Prophet ﷺ went through this. He went through this, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was merciful to his people. He was patient with them. Okay, he's going to bring this. He asked Allah, the angel said, okay, we can't do that. That can't be done. If you wish, it's up to you, Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That shows the virtue of our Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you wish, we'll give him that. They want sapphire and gold, we do it. It's going to be gold. But here is the thing. If they still deny, they will be destroyed. Prophet ﷺ is like, "La, I'll be patient. I'll be patient with them." We do the same things, Akhwan. If you care about somebody, because the Prophet ﷺ, he cared about his people, Akhi. حَرِيسٌ عَلَيْكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. SubhanAllah, as Allah tells us in the Quran, it grieves him that they are denying the truth. He grieves the Prophet ﷺ. He don't make fun of them. We should not make fun of those who are non-Muslim. It should hurt you, akhi. Especially if they're your family members. Make fun of them. For what reason? No, it should grieve you because you know they are on a path of destruction, man. And takuna haris. You have to have that zeal and diligence. You have to be diligent. By what? By being sincere. And constantly talking to them, trying your best. Because you're not the one that bringing them Islam, because you didn't even bring your Islam, and it's not guaranteed that you're going to stay on Islam and die on it. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Abi Hatim, rahimahullah, narrated on the authority of Al-Hasan Al-Basri, regarding this verse, that he said, "As a mercy to you, O nation of Muslims, if we send these signs and you disbelieved in them, that which befell those before you would also befall you." The signs came to them one after another and they did not believe in them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا تَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَّا كَانُوا عَنْهَا مُعْرِضِينَ. And never an ayah. And never an ayah, a sign. Somebody tell the brother to just go out a little bit. Is he okay? Give him some water or something. Not you, Abdul Majid. You're the youngest. Muhammad. Check on that brother, see if he's okay, akhi. And never a sign comes to them from the ayats of their Lord, but that they have been turning away from it. Have been turning away from it. SubhanAllah. Surah Al-An'am, verse number 4. Allah Most Glorified informed them that the signs came to them, but they turned away from them. And that they shall see the truth of that which was brought by the messengers, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, when he destroys them, as he destroyed those before them, due to their sin, which was denied, denial of the messengers, alayhim as-salatu was-salam. For Allah Most Glorified, Most High says, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ مُهْلِكِ الْقُرَىٰ حَتَّى يَبْعَثَ فِي أُمِّهَا رَسُولًا. And never will your Lord destroy the towns, the population, until he sends to their mother town, a messenger. And this is Surah Al-Qasas, chapter 28, verse 59. Now, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed them that so great was their disbelief that even if a book had descended written on paper, and they touch it, they will touch that book with their own hands, they would deny it. They would deny it. And He Most Glorified made clear that even if He had made the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam an angel, He would have made him appear as a man, since they were unable to see the angels in the form in which they were created, and thus their contradiction is made apparent, since they believed that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a human being and not an angel. This is what they say too, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about them. You think the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had it easy and he just, mashallah, it's a struggle. You want to be on the haq, you got to have a struggle, man. The best of mankind has to go through so much with these people, man. But he was patient, merciful, gentle, forbearance. Allahu Akbar. We have a lot to learn from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Somebody, just because he's Salafi today, everything, like now when he walk outside, there is roses and a red carpet the whole way to work, to Kroger, to Publix, and everybody leave him go first, and everybody smile. It's not going to happen like that. We have the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best example, man. He has to struggle. He has to go through a lot of hardship and tests, but he was patient. This is the same thing. This is the path of the prophets and the messengers, man. Sheikh Rabi' Hafidahullah, he told us once a story in his house. He said that this brother, he was a good brother, mashallah. He graduated from University of Medina, from another country. From another country. And he went back to his country. I'm going to give da'wah. Alhamdulillah, good things. But then, a year later, he came and cried. Say, they said this to me, they did this to me, they did that, they did that. The Sheikh said, what do you think? They're going to have a red carpet for you and roses? This is the path of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the path of the Anbiya of Allah. Man, you got to walk from some thorn, man. You're going to get hit by a storm. You think it's going to be all sunshine? No, man. You gotta be tested. And you be patient. This is the best of mankind being tested. So here is another thing they say, as Allah tells us in Surah Al-Isra, verse number 90. وَقَالُوا لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى تَفْجُرَ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَرْضِ يَنْبُوعًا. And they say, we shall not believe in you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, until you cause a spring to gush forth from the earth for us. Zimzim was not enough for them? SubhanAllah. These guys, man, I don't know. Alhamdulillah. La ilaha illallah. The Shaykh says, and if these signs were given to them, and they did not believe in them, the punishment of destruction would befall them. And they do not necessitate belief. Only the establishment of the evidence against them, and that evidence is established by things other than them. And they are also not fitting for their words, subhanAllah, until you break open for us from the ground this spring. Necessitate it's being broken open in Mecca and the appearance of a river from which cultivation arises. And Allah Most Glorified, Most High, has previously ordained in His wisdom that His house would be situated in a dry valley. See? In a dry valley. In order Why? Why Allah, the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala necessitate that his house, Mecca, where the Hajj will be conducted and around it will be in a dry valley. Why? In order that there should be nothing there which would attract people for worldly reasons, thus causing their pilgrimage to be undertaken for some material benefits. Allahu Akbar. You go to Mecca, man, you know, you feel it. Most everybody, I don't know anybody who came sick. Most everybody comes sick from Hajj. You come, man, tired. And alhamdulillah, one of the ulama, I forget the name, he mentioned, he says, if he was like rivers in there and trees and beautiful scenery, people may go there for vacation. They plan for vacation and they say, why are we there? We just put the Hajj too. You know what I'm saying? So now people, they're not going to Mecca for Hajj. They're going for vacations because it's beautiful. Mountains, trees, birds, rivers, all this nice climate. And then they're like, hey, we're here already. So put an ihram on and make Hajj. No. Now person, they're like, listen, man. They know the hardship. Sometimes the Hajj, if it comes in the summer, it's 120 degrees. It's hot. Dusty. Akhi, subhanAllah. But still you go. Why you go? Because the Hajj. You ain't going for landscape. You're going for Hajj, for ibadah. Everybody here made Hajj? How many people made Hajj? Couple people, huh? Asha'Allah. You gotta make Hajj, ikhwan. If you didn't make Hajj yet, and you have the means, you have no excuse. That's very serious. You cannot postpone Hajj. You got to, because it's a pillar from the pillar of Islam, right? Right? Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, if a person have the means to make it to Hajj and come back and didn't make Hajj, let him choose to die as a Jew or a Christian. And people, like, they got money and they be building houses, I don't know where. Yes, what do you mean build a house? Hajj come first. People travel all over the world. I've been to Japan. Japan is an amazing country. You're amazing. You're not an amazing person. You've been to Japan, but you didn't make Hajj yet. Then the other guy said, Akhi, I spent 2 months in Mexico, man. I learned some Spanish. You've been to Hajj? Oh, no. What's Spanish going to do to you, man? Not only Spanish, he grabbed some burritos too. But is that going to help him? And he didn't make Hajj? Then the third person, I was in Rome. Oh man, Rome, Italy. And from there we went to Romania. And from Romania we coached the bus to Germany. Oh, that was a nice trip. What nice about it? In the land of Kufr. What nice about it? You been to Hajj, brother? And then he's like, oh man, I spent like $10,000, but it's worth it. It's worth it. Oh, we've seen a lot of things. Europe is nice. I recommend it for everybody. Made Hajj? Oh, I don't have money for Hajj yet. You have money for Hajj, but you have money for Rome and Germany. This is amazing. Come on, Sam, akhi. Listen, akhwan, this is serious. The ulama, they says, if somebody has Hajj, who has money, actually, has the ability to make Hajj, because the ability is not always money, okay? Help too. If somebody very sick or cannot travel, that's something else. Some people, you know, Allah guide them to Islam, those brothers who they live in the land of Kufr, okay? And then they're in trouble. They were in trouble before Islam. And then, mashallah, for whatever reason, they cannot get a passport. Or some, they cannot get a passport and they cannot even leave the country. They're on probations, okay? May Allah make things easy for them. Amen. Those people are, their case is different. But if somebody has passport, he no probation, he can travel, and he's been traveling here and there, and never been to Mecca to make Hajj or Umrah, that's amazing. You got to. Before you buy a new car, you got to go for Hajj. Some people, they have the money. He has a car, nothing wrong with it. Oh, no, I'm going to get me a nice car for $8,000. $8,000, you can make Hajj. You and your wife if you're married. It's not how it works. Or some people, they just go for a vacation in here in America or Kenya, safari, Kenya. And we're going to go check them out. Check who out? The giraffes. Google it, man, on the internet. You can see all the giraffes you want. But you're going to go to Hajj. That's what you need to go before you go to Kenya, before you go to Tanzania, before you go to any place. You got to go to Hajj. You gotta go see the Paris. Why you wanna see Paris for? What's in Paris? What's in Paris? Now you're gonna go to Mecca. What's in Mecca? Kaaba. The Hara, the Masjid al Haram. When you pray one prayer and it's better 100,000 times. 100,000 times. Subhanallah. One of the Mashaykh in his book on the Hajj and Umrah from Ahlul Sunnah. He did the math. One salat in the haram is better than 56 years of salat everywhere, elsewhere.
56 years?
Yes. He did the math. Because one salat is better than 100,000 salat elsewhere. You spend 2 weeks in Mecca, and if you pray every salat in there, what happened? Multiply that, subhanAllah, that's a great ni'mah. And a person going to go to Germany and Paris and Mexico and see the haram and maybe fall into the haram. Because if you die, if you're laying in the mud, you can get that white tea clean. You can keep it clean, you know. Right or wrong? That's it. Somebody going to go Europe. What's in Europe, man? I go to Mecca. Even if you made Hajj before, go make another one. Make a 10th one. Make a 50th one. Why not? You have money and then your nafs tell you, oh, you got to go to China, man. Check them out. The what is it called?
Great Wall.
The Great Wall. Why you want to go to China for? You don't even know the language. They cook monkeys in there and snakes. You don't even know what you'd be eating in there. Go to Medina, man. Go see Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad. You're going to go to China. For who? Bruce Lee? He died, right? They say he died.
Yeah,
Some say he didn't. Allahu A'lam. We don't care. Are you going to go see the Mashayikh of Ahlul Sunnah? Sit in their classes. Go visit Shuhada Uhud. Huh? Al-Baqi'. Go pray in Quba. One prayer equal to Umrah in reward. You're going to get that in Italy. If you're going for the pizza, there's pizza right here, halal pizza. There's pizza everywhere. They're not just in Italy. So we're going to put our priorities together, ya akhwan. If you didn't make Hajj yet, you got to make Hajj. It's very serious. You got to. Barakallahu feekum. Now, so the Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, it's the wisdom of Allah that his house would be situated in a dry valley in order that there should be nothing there which would attract people for worldly reasons, thus causing their pilgrimage to be undertaken for some material benefit. And if it had a garden of dates and grapes, it would entail ease and comfort in the life of this world, which would necessitate a diminution of its status. The same applies if there was therein a place of zukhruf, i.e. gold. A palace of zukhruf, meaning of gold. As for causing the sky to fall in shattered pieces, this will not happen until the day of resurrection. And as for bringing Allah and the angels before them, when the people of Moses, Musa, alayhi salam, ask him less than this, they were seized by a thunderbolt. SubhanAllah. No, they ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your Lord and the angels come. Because when the people of Musa, alayhi salam, ask him less than this, they were seized by a thunderbolt. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَسْأَلُكَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ أَن تُنَزِّلَ عَلَيْهِمْ كِتَابًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. The people of the scripture, the Jews, ask you to cause a book to descend upon them from heaven. Surah An-Nisa, verse 153. Allah Most Glorified has made clear that the polytheists and the people of the scripture asked him that a book being sent down from the heaven. And he made clear that neither group would believe if it came to them, and that they only asked him in order to vex him and disturb him. Okay? See, they're not asking because they want to know. They're asking for other reasons. And Allah said concerning the polytheists, وَلَوْ نَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ كِتَابًا فِي قِرْطَاسٍ فَلَمَسُوهُ. And even if we had sent down unto you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a message written on paper so that they could touch it. This is the Surah Al-An'am, verse 7. We mentioned that ayah before. And regarding the people of the scripture, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَقَدْ سَأَلُوا مُوسَىٰ أَكْبَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Indeed, they asked Moses, for even greater than Allah. Greater than that. See, I'm tired myself. I start seeing stuff now. They ask Musa alayhi salam even greater than that. What's that? They say, قَالُوا أَرِنَ اللَّهَ جَهْرَ. They say, we want to see Allah. And even Musa, when he requests, he said he want to see Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, you can't see me. But look at that mountain. If that mountain stay in its place, you can see me. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manifests himself to the mountain was what?
Crumbles
in dust. فَخَرَّ مُوسَى سَعِقَى. Musa, he kneeled. Allah, he fell down. Unconscious. So now they ask things. SubhanAllah, what do we ask? We ask al-afiyah. We ask Allah for safety. We ask Allah for protection. We ask Allah for taqwa. We ask Allah for guidance. We ask Allah for Jannah. And we ask Allah for safety from the fire. We ask Allah to protect us from trials in this life. We ask Allah to protect us from the wickedness of our own souls and the mischief of our own deeds. That's what we ask for. SubhanAllah. That's what we should be asking for, Ya Ikhwan. But in spite of this, they broke their covenant, disbelieved in the signs of Allah, and killed the prophets, the Jews. Allah bring the signs, and they disbelieved in them, and they killed messengers. Allah mentioned in many places in the Quran, وَبِقَتْلِهِمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ, that they killed messengers.
You skipped the verse that was underneath.
MashaAllah. JazakAllah khair. Now that he says until. We mentioned the ayah, فَقَدْ سَأَلُوا مُوسَىٰ أَكْبَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Up to his words, مِيثَاقًا غَلِيدًا, a firm covenant, JazakAllah khair. Meaning from the verse 153 and 154. JazakAllah khair. We'll read to you, okay? Surah An-Nisa. JazakAllah. I like people who are like here with me, not just with their bodies, but they follow, alhamdulillah. Alright? Allah said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, يسألك أهل الكتاب أن تنزل عليهم كتابا من السماء فقد سألوا موسى أكبر من ذلك فقالوا أرنا الله جهرة فأخذتهم الصاعقة بظلمهم ثم اتخذوا العجل من بعد ما جاءتهم البينات فعفونا عن ذلك وآتينا موسى سلطانا مبينا ورفعنا فوقهم الطور بميثاقهم وقلنا لهم ادخلوا الباب سجدا وقلنا لهم لا تعدوا في السبت وأخذنا منهم ميثاقا غليظا. الحمد لله. The people of the scripture, meaning the Jews, ask you to cause a book to descend upon them from heaven. Indeed, they asked Moses alayhi salam, for even greater than that. When they said, show us Allah in public. Show us Allah in public. But they were struck with the thunderclap and lightning for their wickedness. Then they worshipped the calf, even after clear proofs and evidences and signs had come to them. Even so, we forgave them. Allah Akbar. With all of this, Allah forgave them. SubhanAllah. Ask Allah for forgiveness, ya ikhwan. Allah forgave sins. Look what the people did. Still Allah forgave them. You know? None of us ask these questions. We're not worshipping anything in the basements, right? So we worship Allah. So ask Allah for forgiveness. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we gave Musa a clear proof of authority. And for breaking their covenant, we raised over them the mount. And on the other occasion, we said to them, enter the gate, prostrating or bowing with humility. And we commanded them, transgress not by doing worldly works on the Sabbath. Saturday. Huh? And we took from them a firm covenant. But what happened after that? فَبِمَا نَقْدِهِمْ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ مِيثَاقَهُمْ وَكُفْرِهِمْ بِآيَةِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. Because of their breaking of the covenant. Wow, these people, man. أَهْلُ غَدْرٍ وَخِيَانَةٍ. The Shaykh says, but in spite of this, they broke their covenant, disbelieved in the signs of Allah, and killed the prophets. In this there is a warning. In this there is a warning, which is that when signs which they demand come to those who are not guided, there is no benefit in their coming to them. In fact, they necessitate the punishment of destruction if they do not believe in them, and the matter is made worse for them. La ilaha illallah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa al-afiyah. Sallallahu alayhi wa ta'ala to grant us tawfiq. Sallallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us to benefit from the knowledge we receive. This knowledge here, it shouldn't just go one ear and go out the other. Now this knowledge, we should ponder upon it, ya khwan. Because the Jannah is true and the hellfire is true. This dunya is a fight, is a struggle. And think somebody got it like nothing the way they want it. Now you're going to keep on fighting. You want to keep on fighting. You know, that's what this dunya is about. You find it in many ways, man. You find it the shaitan and his wickedness. Shayateen. He has his army with him, man. Shayateen from the devils and from the ins, from the human being, there is shayateen too. Calling you to evil. So what do? You give up? You lower your standard for what? You lower the bar? No, man, keep it high. Keep on fighting. Keep on fighting, man. It may get hard sometimes. The road get bumpy, man. It's not going to be smooth all day. You know, you got to hold on tight. The ride's not going to be smooth all day. We can relax. Now sometimes you got to hold on to something. You got to hold on tight. You wish two hands is not enough. You want to hold with your knees sometimes. Right or wrong? You want to bite with your tongue, with your teeth on something. It hurt, but you can't let go. Because if you let go, where are you going? You're going to be destroyed. Likewise in this dunya, man. We're fighting in so many ways, man. You're fighting the shayateen. You're fighting the temptations, the lust, the desires, the environment. Even the environment is not helping us. That's why we have each other. We have to care more about one another and look up after one another, spend more time with one another. Because when you spend, and we spend more time in the house of Allah, with our families, because if you're doing something else, you're being somewhere, you're on your own now. You're on your own. And the shayateen gonna come at you. But we have to minimize those places where there is no benefit for us. We don't go to those places. Why I go to those places? A place that doesn't remind you of Allah. But on top of that, there is nothing but things that take you away from the remembrance of Allah. Why you go there? What is the benefit in there? Why? Well, you know, some of my friends, they are not your friends. Friends that are calling you away from the house of Allah, calling you away from the Quran, calling you away from the remembrance of Allah, to backbiting, to cursing, to this, to haram. They are not your friends. A good friend is a friend that reminds you of Allah. He's going to tell you, Akhi, where's the masjid? I didn't see you in the masjid for a couple of days. I didn't see you in the classes for a couple of days now. Your behavior is changing. I saw you standing in one spot a couple of days, and I thought maybe you're just, I don't know. But for the past couple of weeks, Akhi, I passed by that, and I see you over there hanging with people. That they are not for you. They are not those people. Unless if you're giving them da'wah and remind them of Allah. But still, you talk to them and you leave. You don't stay there and spend a couple of hours with them, laughing with them. No, you can't. Our times are more precious. Very precious. And especially, you don't even know where you're going to die. Any one of us here, he's 50 years old or 35 or 19, and he knows he's going to die when he's 72. For you to say, man, I still have a couple years, I still have like 50 years, I still have 40 years. Man, you don't even know if you're going to make it to your home today. So you gotta, don't delay anything. Say, listen, man, subhanAllah, we're wasting a lot of our times. As long as if we're mindful of this, that's going to help us. We shouldn't be heedless. We just like day come, day go by, and we're just going. We're going to the grave, that's where we're going. And what do we take with us in the grave? Money? Nothing. Deeds. Nothing but deeds. Well, see, as a human being, we're not somewhere like... We're doing stuff. You eat. You drink. You talk. You walk and you go to places. Now, everything you do, when you talk, is whether for you or against you. What you eat is ever something that is pleasing to Allah or not. Places you go to, whether places that you benefit or places that will be the source of your misery and destruction. So we have to be mindful of these things. Where I go, who I talk to, who I listen to, yourself, your wife, your children. You be mindful of your brothers, your friends, somebody work for you too, you're responsible. You talk to them, you remind them of Allah. You work for somebody, you remind them of Allah. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. You were the best of all nations that brought forth to mankind. Why? Because you command good and forbid evil. We're supposed to command good and forbid evil. It doesn't matter if sometimes, yes, people are going to give you a hard time. You want to talk to somebody and he give you a hard time. Even if you came to him in a nice way, in a smooth way, easy way, they want to give you a hard time because that's who they are. You want to give up talking to them? No, you can't. Uwais al-Qarni, as the Prophet ﷺ said in his authentic hadith, he is the best of the tabi'een. The best in zuhd and in ibadah and in virtue. And he says, الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر تركنا من غير أصحاب. He says, commanding good and forbidding evil left us with no friends. So what do you want to do? Give up something that is pleasing to Allah so that you can keep your friends? No, you can't do that. You just can't do this. You got to command good, forbid evil. doesn't matter, people like it, they don't like it, they act upon it, don't act upon it. Keep in mind, when you go and command good, you want to do it for the sake of Allah too. You don't do it because you want to expose somebody. No, you do it because he wants good for that brother. He's your brother in Islam. Barakallahu feekum, jazakum Allah khairan, subhanakallahu hamdik. Shadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.